Welcome to Investor Talk Radio, hosted by Kurt Davis. During the show, Kurt will share tips and strategies as well as guest interviews on how you can become a successful real estate investor. Kurt Davis was a former chef for 11 years until one day had the opportunity to take a leap of faith, left cooking, and became a full-time real estate investor. Kurt has been building his personal portfolio of rental property and at the same time has helped over 500 investors around the globe purchase cash-flowing rental properties. He is a licensed realtor who has achieved multi-million dollar club status, and he is also very active in the local real estate investment club. And now, here is your host, Kurt Davis.
Welcome to another edition of Investor Talk Radio. I'm your host, Kurt Davis, and today joining me in the studio is Stephen Akindana. Stephen, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, Kurt. Thanks for having me.
Listen, I really appreciate you coming in. I'm looking forward to this podcast, and I'm sure that the listeners are going to be equally as excited. Now, we're just going to kind of jump into the podcast here, the interview, if you want to call it. Tell us a little bit about yourself before real estate. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Let's see. I'm from Houston, Texas, originally, 30 years old. Grew up. My parents are actually Nigerian. So me and my brothers and sisters were first-generation Americans. We were born here in the States. My parents are Nigerian. Had a pretty good childhood, like most people. My parents really didn't teach on finances or anything like that.
Sadly, most don't.
Yeah. So had a lot to learn in the area of finance. Went to college, Sam Houston State, on full football scholarship. So I was an athlete. Was pretty much set on playing professional football. Some things kind of changed. Had an injury. And so those plans were kind of thwarted. And so I had to, you know, make changes and adjust.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of athletes that get those injuries, and they can't, sadly, fulfill their dream of sports. Now, what were you doing career wise before real estate? Really, kind of leading up to the time of when you got into real estate. What was your career path?
Well, let's see. I had several career paths. So I went to school, college, and I studied accounting. I was an accounting major. So I thought I was going to do that after the football thing. So I guess you would say first my career path was professional football. When that kind of fell through, I did the accounting thing for 3 months, and I realized that I really hated staring at a computer screen for 8 hours a day. So I quit that. And I've always been a musician. Since a kid, I've played piano, I've sung, and so I just decided to pursue music. So I moved to Memphis, actually, to study music, and so I've been in Memphis about 8 years now, and that's what I was doing. I've playing bands, do some recording work, some studio work. I've got to teach private lessons, and then I also lead worship at my local church.
Now, what instrument?
I play piano.
And you are fantastic at piano. I can vouch for that.
Thank you.
Now, how did you get involved in real estate? Or better put, what turned you on to it? What did you see, a late-night infomercial or something like that? Or what piqued your interest?
I just started thinking about my future a lot. And I just could not reconcile what I was doing and retirement. I could not see how, although I make a pretty good living in music and that pays my bills and it's a good gig, I just could not see me doing that for 20 years and then being able to retire and support my family or even have kids, send them to college. So when I started thinking about those things, I started thinking, man, I've got to find out how I can make my money work for me. How can I get it investing? So that opened me up to just looking into investing, period. So I looked at stocks. I looked at just different various avenues of investing, and everything kept pointing back to real estate being, for me, the best vehicle to try to increase my net worth and be able to retire.
Now, did you know that Memphis was such a hot market before that? Were you aware of what was going on in Memphis, or were you just like, hey, I'd really just like to get involved in real estate?
Absolutely not. I just wanted to get involved in real estate. It's just, I don't know, luck, I don't know, God or whatever, just lining things up to where I happen to live in one of the best real estate markets in the country. So,
how'd you get started? What was the next step once you kind of identified that real estate was looking to be your path? What did you start doing?
I had to get educated. I knew that there were people in town, even though I didn't know who those people were. I knew that there were people in town that were investing in real estate. So my next course of action was to find out where the guys that invest in real estate, where do they hang out, where do they meet, is there a meeting, is there a group, do they hang out at a certain spot. Like, I had to try to inject myself into the real estate investing community.
Now, what did you find out when you started to do your research?
I found out that we have a local REIA here called Memphis Investors Group.
And that's where we met.
And that's where we met, yeah.
And it's an interesting story, but I'd like you to just kind of keep going on. Tell us a little bit about maybe the first time you showed up, because, you know, if I recall, that was probably, what, a good 6 to 9 months or
yeah,
so
more,
ago?
More like 10 months ago.
Yeah. Because
yeah.
I remember I was teaching one of the Getting Started Right classes, and you came in, mm-hmm. and you sat in on that group that night, and I just remember talking to you afterwards, because usually when I do that class, I get a lot of new people who want to talk with me afterwards. They want to pick my brain, take me out to lunch, meet with me, that kind of stuff, and maybe we can get to that a little bit, but tell us about the first time you went to MIG.
The first time I went to MIG, I walked in and you were teaching the Getting Started Right program, and I sat in, and very interesting stuff that you talked about, driving for dollars. You talked about just other avenues to get started in real estate at relatively low cost, and I just remember being very intrigued by that. The overall program of MIG was awesome. After I think it was an hour of getting started right, and then they had the general session with the guest speaker, and all of that was very informative. I got to shake a lot of hands, got to meet a lot of people that are actively investing in real estate in Memphis. So it was awesome.
So would you say that for any new person out there who would potentially listen to this podcast, that getting involved one way or another in your local real estate club is probably critical?
It's critical. At least it was for me. I can't even think how I would have been able to start doing anything without first going there.
Because I remember, I want to say a week or so after that real estate club meeting, we met. You actually wanted to come here, and I sat with you here for probably like a good half hour to an hour, and we just kind of talked mm-hmm. real estate strategies and things like that to kind of, you know, give you a little boost. You know, go try this, go try that. And, you know, I've done that with a lot of people, and, you know, sadly, you know, percentage-wise, it doesn't work out for most because, you know, either they get discouraged, their job is too busy for them, they just, life gets in the way is really what happens. Life and themselves get in the way.
Yeah.
So then what happened? After you and I met that time, you know, we stayed in touch a little bit, as I recall, but mm-hmm. What were you doing then, like, after the real estate club, what were you doing to keep yourself motivated, to keep yourself kind of juiced on real estate?
After we met, one of the biggest things you kind of pointed me in the direction of was wholesaling. And you told me, man, driving for dollars is a great way to find properties that people are trying to sell, and for whatever reason, they may not be using a realtor or going through the traditional means of selling their house. Maybe it's in such a distressed state that they can't use a realtor to list the property. So I started doing that. That's where I started. I started driving for dollars. And, man, that was tough because it just seemed like all the for sale by owner signs I saw were wanted way too much money for their house. So I really didn't find anything in driving for dollars. And so I was committed. And I think that you have to start there. You have to mentally sit down and say, I'm going to make this happen at all costs. And you got to kind of be there mentally, because it would have been very easy for me after driving for dollars for 3 weeks, a month, nothing, to just kind of throw in the towel.
Now, what I have to interject here real quick is that it's important for people to understand that while you were doing this, you still have your career. You're
right.
Still working.
I'm still working.
So it's almost like you could say that you're, in theory, taking on another part-time to full-time job
yeah.
that you're not getting paid to do.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, it's important for people to understand that you just didn't quit being a musician. I mean, you had to continue that.
Absolutely. And the thing about being a musician is, you know, I work at night. So I was playing gigs till 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning. I'd wake up around 11 a.m. and I'd hit the streets and I'd go driving for dollars. And I did that. I mean, I did that for 3 weeks straight, maybe 5 or 6 hours a day, just burning up gas looking for properties. And so then, you know, I think I talked to you, and then you kind of suggested, man, you put in my ear just kind of, you know, direct mail marketing as a strategy to getting some leads on some houses.
And I remember you did that.
Talk about that. I poured in some money because...
How much? I mean, that's important to know. How much? Tell us a little bit about what kind of your financial investment in that was.
I think the first marketing campaign I did was 500 letters. I went on List Source. I found absentee owners, so owners who own properties in Memphis that were out of state. So that automatically tells me that, A, they're investors that are investing in Memphis out of state who may want to sell, or B, they're someone who owns a house and maybe got a job in California and left and they still own this house and they're trying to sell. So I got 500 names, and I think that was around $150 for that list, so I paid that. By the time I bought the yellow letters, by the time I bought my postage, I would say that first mail out campaign was probably around $300 to $400.
Of that was sent out, how many responses did you get?
I got a lot of. My phone was blowing up. I got a lot. Oh, I mean, out of the 500 letters, I think I got 250 people to call me back.
Goodness, that's incredible.
Yeah, so 50% of the letters, they called me back. Now, out of that 250, I probably had 3 or 4 people who were willing to kind of sell in the price point that an investor would want to buy. So there was a lot of people that were just calling because they're interested in selling, but wanted to sell at maybe retail or something.
So at this point, you're juiced up again. You're excited. Absolutely. Because of the amount of activity.
Absolutely.
Now, of that very small percentage that were in the price range, did any of those deals work out?
No. None of them worked out. I mean, me and you got close on one.
Yeah.
There was a house I called you, and you were primary. And I think back now, if I knew more investors to call, I probably could have flipped a deal or two, but you were the only guy I knew, so I was calling you with every lead I had, and so if you weren't interested in it...
It's like if I wasn't going to buy it, nobody would. And and you're right, a lot of it is, you know, you need to know more people,
exactly.
Especially people who do what I do.
Exactly.
Because I might have turned it down, but the other guy might have been willing to pay.
Absolutely.
Maybe a little bit more, so... talk about some of the frustrations that you've had doing this. You know, like I said, you know, you mentioned that you were driving around for 3 to 4 weeks, driving for dollars, and it just wasn't working that well for you. Were there times when you wanted to quit or stop doing this, or you questioned whether this is really what you should be doing?
I mean, the thought crosses your mind as someone who's jumping out into something new, but I just had such a strong mental resolve that I wasn't going to let... any obstacles in the road stop me. And then, too, I think I had, like you, especially you, when we sat down and talked, you made it very clear that, hey, this stuff doesn't just happen overnight. Like, you've got to stick with it. You've got to be persistent. You've got to work hard. You've got to hustle. And so I think I had a realistic idea of, okay, I could be doing this 12 months and not see any fruit from it, but I just got to keep working it because it does work.
Was your wife supportive through all of this?
Absolutely. And I think that was critical. That's critical, especially if you're married or you're in a significant relationship with someone, that person be in support of what you're doing. Because
if not, that could have potentially killed it for you.
Absolutely.
Now, I mean, that's exciting to hear about the mail campaign and the type of activity that you can generate from doing that. Now, I want to fast forward a little bit because I remember, after all of that, I remember getting a call from you one evening.
Mm-hmm.
You remember the phone call?
Yes, I do.
Tell me about that phone call.
I called you and I asked you about a contact that you know because I met a guy who was in real estate investing. And at this point, you were my real contact into the world of Memphis real estate investing. This guy said he knew you.
Who was it?
Robert Fiol.
And what's his company?
Discount Property Warehouse.
OK. Okay, so keep going.
And so I met him, and he said, man, I'm a good friend of Kurt Davis's. And I said, man, I know Kurt. Kurt's really the one that's been helping me do all of this stuff. And so I called you to get a personal recommendation to see if this guy was for legit, what his ethics were like, if he's a good guy, because he actually wanted me to work for his company.
Now, you set up an appointment to go meet with them. Mm-hmm. How'd that meeting go? Because if I remember correctly, you told me that there was some confusion there.
There was some confusion. So they had, I guess it would just be some kind of marketing capture website where they had a property up for sale, and it was a great deal. So I called the number because I'm obviously trying to find deals that I can wholesale to you and other investors. And so I call on the house I see. And then I get a call back from the sales manager at the company, which is Pat Burleson. Mm-hmm. And he brings me into the office to have a sales meeting. And initially it started out as they were trying to sell me their investment product. So I was there to be a client of theirs. And about halfway through, I wouldn't call it a sales pitch. It was more just a conversation. I just kind of stopped and I was like, guys, I don't think you understand, like, I don't want to be your client. I want to be you. I want to be the guy sitting in your seat trying to talk to my future clients. And I don't know. I guess Robert kind of laughed at that. And the whole conversation just kind of morphed into like a job interview. And before I know it, I was getting asked questions, as the similar questions that you would get asked on a job interview. And then at the end of it, Robert was like, man, I really want you to work for our company.
What did he tell you that you had to do to become part of their team?
He told me I had to go get my real estate license.
Now, what's interesting about that is a lot of people in our position, even in our industry, are not licensed realtors. And in some instances, you don't have to be. But if you're going to be selling homes or managing homes for others, you have to be a licensed realtor here. So what did you do then?
I called you because I knew that getting my real estate license was going to be a big financial deal, and I didn't want to do that unless I felt like I won, that this company that I was going to do it for was reputable and that I could trust Robert and the team there. So I trusted you, and I called you, and you gave me a great Robert's a good friend of yours, and so you spoke very highly of him. And so I said, okay, man, if the general impression that I got from the guys when I sat and talked was very positive. My general gut instinct was that, man, these are some good guys. And then whenever you kind of told me they're good guys, it kind of just cemented that in my mind. So I went out and got my license.
And that's where it all kind of really started.
That's where it really just kicked off for me, yeah.
Now, you've been working for DPW for several months now. Mm-hmm. How have things been going? How has it been going over there for you?
It's been great. I mean, it is like learning. I'm just learning so much. It's almost like if you think, and Robert uses this analogy all the time, if you stand in front of a fire hydrant and you're trying to drink water out of a fire hydrant, this is how I'm learning. Like, just a ton of information, trying to absorb it in, but it's been great. I love every minute of it.
And I'm glad to hear that, because I mean, you may or may not know, but when I moved to Memphis, I worked for Robert and his business partner at the time back in 2007. So you're kind of in a position where I was at that many years ago. What have you been learning, or what are some of your primary responsibilities? How are you fitting in over there?
I feel so in my first 3 weeks there, I found two deals, and they were very good deals that we bought and we sold very quickly. And so after that, Robert immediately just said, "You know what? Congratulations, Stephen Agudano. You're now the acquisitions manager." And so I got that title, and so I've been doing a lot of making offers for
now. Now that's where the real estate license comes into point.
Absolutely.
Because one of the questions I was going to ask you is has having your real estate license, has that paid off?
Oh yeah, three times. You know, just the cost of the license versus what I've made so far, it's paid for itself over and over again.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And what would you say about the education that you're receiving over at Robert's company? You know, what kind of value would you put on that?
It's hard for me to put a numerical value on it, because it's just, I mean, I'm just learning so much, you know, just about creative ways to structure deals, how to find deals, how to talk to agents, how to talk to sellers, how to talk to buyers, how to recruit and get clients. I mean, I'm just learning the whole gamut of investing in real estate.
And that's exactly how it should be. You know, a lot, like I said, a lot of people, it's the stars kind of aligned for you in a perfect way to kind of bring you to where you're at. One of the things I want to talk about now, which is interesting, is, you know, what has real estate done for you in the short time that you've been involved? And mostly I want to talk about your purchase of your primary residence. Tell us a little bit about that and how that kind of played out for you.
Right. Prior to meeting Robert, I wanted to invest in real estate. Me and my wife had been talking about buying our house, and so I was kind of already looking, okay, I've got to find a primary residence, and I wanted it to be discounted. So I, like most people do, go to your mortgage broker. I went to a mortgage broker. They said, okay, Stephen, based on your credit score, based on your debt-to-income ratio, this is the amount of house we will finance for you. It was, you know, $170,000 house. So, of course, me and my wife, we're excited about that. We can buy a nice house for $170,000 in Memphis. So we did like most people do. We started looking on Realtor.com, Zillow, and started looking for things that were for sale in that price range, and got excited about a couple of houses. And then was talking to Robert, actually, and I said, man, I found this great house. It will appraise for $200,000. It's for sale for $150,000. I think I would love to get it. My mortgage company will do $170,000. So what do you think? And he just kind of laughed at me, and it was like, why don't you buy a $200,000 house for $75,000 or $50,000? And I looked at him like, is that possible? And he said, yeah, you can buy deeply discounted properties, and let's do that. So I kind of changed course, and we began to look at HUD properties and really distressed properties that needed work. And we found one. We found a nice house that was worth about $80,000. We could pick it up for about half that, $45,000, and that's what I did. And I was so to go back and kind of tell you kind of the events that happened with that. This same house that I'm talking about, I wanted to buy, and I was going the traditional route, and I ran into some issues with my mortgage lender because it needed work, because it was a foreclosed home. There were different hoops I had to jump through, and at the end of the day, I did all this running around. I did all of this verification, getting these documents in, doing all of this, and he wasn't able to loan me the money. And now,
which doesn't surprise me in the traditional world. A lot of these lenders, you know, nothing against them. They just don't know how to deal with these types of scenarios. That's why companies like us, investors like yourself, we can pull in and take these homes down cash. That's why we typically get them before the homeowner. But so you were turned down in theory for financing. Now what?
I came into the office one day and I was just upset. I was just angry. And Robert said something to me, and I just kind of like I just responded in an angry way. And he was like, well, what's wrong? And, you know, what's going on? And so I just told him the whole situation. I was frustrated because I had a mortgage company saying, we'll lend you up to $170,000. Here's a $45,000 house that they won't give me the money for. So I was frustrated. And he said, okay, hold on. He gets on the phone. He makes two calls, one to you. And he says, hey, Kurt, man, Steven's here. He wants to buy a house. You know, can we get him some hard money? Done. Makes another call to Steve Bighouse, who is a refinance guy. Hey, man, I've got a guy here that needs a refinance. We want to do a hard money refinance model with him. Can you get him approved? Have him a pre-approval letter the same day. So in a matter of 20 minutes, the deal was financed and the refinance was approved.
So how much would you say of this business is based on who you know?
In my case, I would say 100%. 100% of what I've done has been through knowing people, having contacts, being able to say someone's name, and then even that person's name. So when I've said Robert Feel, that has, because some people know him, has allowed me to get business because of who he knows. Same with your name. I've said Kurt Davis, and people have known who you are, and I've been able to get business based on just knowing you.
Now, with your primary residence, the renovations are done.
Renovations are done.
And you're in the home stretch of getting the refinance done, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
After that, what's next?
for me, it's build the portfolio. I've got to find properties, and I'm just all about building my portfolio with investment properties. So
now, let's talk a little bit about some of the goals that you might have. Aside from obviously wanting to, you know, build a portfolio and things like that, what are you hoping that real estate will do for you?
Well, you know, I have goals, and when I started this, I had goals, but then after being in this for a couple of months and seeing the results of just what a couple of months, and I'm relatively inexperienced, and I'm still learning a lot, I've exceeded those goals already. So it's like,
well, what are some of those? What are some of these short-term goals that you've done? I know that when we, when you and your wife were at our house last weekend, we were kind of talking, and you mentioned to me that you paid off one of the vehicles.
I paid off one of the vehicles. Yeah. So one of my short-term goals was, when we first sat down 12 months ago, me and my wife, we started talking about getting in this. You know, I make a decent amount of money playing music, but I have never had, like, I've never had $5,000 of cash at one time. That's sure. Just, I've never had that. So one of the goals was like, man, if we could just get $5,000, I just want to see. I never even opened my bank statement and saw $5,000 in there. So that was a goal.
Sure.
One of the goals was, man, you know, and we were excited about that. If we could just, how cool would it be to open our bank statement and see $5,000 in the bank? That was one of the goals. And so we, of course, being in real estate, you know, couple of weeks in, I got a $2,000 commission check.
Sure.
On a property found, so I put it in the bank. Then a couple weeks later, found another deal, got some more commissions, got another $2,000, and then, you know, 6 weeks into it, I had $7,000 sitting in the account, and me and my wife were going, wow, we met our $5,000 goal in 6 weeks. So okay, we're thinking way too small. You know, we've got to think a lot bigger, because this is a lot. This is way more powerful than we thought it would
sure.
be. And so recently I just closed on a couple deals I found and got some significant money and paid off one of my cars, you know. And so that was huge for us. And so for us, a big long-term goal that we thought was long-term, but now I'm realizing can be probably within the next year or two, is to be debt-free. So that's the big thing. I want to be debt-free in the next 2 years. We've got a significant amount of student loans that I just want to get done. I've got another vehicle that I want to pay off, and then, of course, my house that I just bought.
Man, that's exciting to hear.
Yeah, it is. Very exciting.
Do you plan on, now, obviously, aside from the house that you and your wife are purchased as your primary residence, to confirm, you do not own any investment properties at this point, correct?
At this point, no. At this point, no.
Are you planning on purchasing any anytime soon?
Yes. As soon as this, because the house hadn't closed, the refinance had closed, but as soon as the refinance closes, which I think is worth mentioning, doing it this way, I'm literally out of pocket $1,300 plus $1,200, so $2,500.
So let's kind of break this down for everybody that's listening. You're all in a house that has an appraised value of in the $80,000 to $85,000 range,
mm-hmm.
but with your purchase and rehab monies, you're all in it for, call it, low sixty thousand dollar range.
Mm-hmm.
And where a normal person buying this house would have to, you know, put anywhere between 5% to maybe 20%
mm-hmm.
down, you're all in with the creative private financing, $1,300
yep.
out of pocket. That's incredible.
Yeah.
And you would have never known how to do that unless you got involved in this business.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We're kind of wrapping up the interview here, and it's been fantastic. I really appreciate you being here today.
Thanks for having me.
What would maybe some final thoughts that you would have out there, primarily for people who were in your exact position when you got started, who were maybe looking for some direction, don't really know where to go, what to do, who to connect with? What would your words of advice be?
Definitely get hooked up with your local REIA. If you're in Memphis, MIG, get started there. And, you know, a lot of people are afraid to walk up to someone and say, hey, I know nothing, can you help me? And I would say you got to get over that. I think that was something that I had to just get over. I don't know if you picked up on it, but it was hard for me to come up to you after that, getting started program and say, hey, my name is Stephen Akindana, and I would like for you to help me get started in real estate.
You know, and you know what's fascinating, and I'm glad you brought that up because it triggered something I wanted to mention. When I lead classes like that, and I know that you're not there at every one of them, because I remember when you brought your wife like the second time, mm-hmm. I remember you were going to sit in on my class, but mm-hmm. I actually told you not to.
Yeah.
I told you to go to the other class because you just sat in on mine mm-hmm. before, but your wife sat in on my class,
yeah.
which was great. I can't tell you how many people, on average, I'd say there's probably a good 20 to 30 people there who attend my class. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you that the percentages are very, very low of people who actually contact me.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you think back about when, you, like you said, it was difficult for you to want to come up and talk to me, but once you did, we met, I gave you a little direction. It's like, when I look back at that, I don't really feel like I did that much for you. I was willing to meet with you, which is fine, and I'm willing to meet with a lot of new investors, yeah. but a lot of people can't even – they're too chicken
yeah.
to take that step, and I don't know why. It's like if you wouldn't have been able to do that, who knows where you
right,
might
right.
be.
That's why I think it's so crucial that you have to ask for help. I think part of it is just the intimidation. Like, you know, you have your own company. You're a successful real estate investor here in Memphis. For some guy who doesn't know anything, has no money, to come up to you and ask for help, it just seems kind of intimidating. And you often think, well, why would this person want to help me? And you know, genuinely, guys like yourself, you know that A, you probably had some help when you were getting started, and so you're thinking, man, if I can help someone get started, you know, that's just a good way for me to give back.
Well, and that's why I enjoy doing that class at the Real Estate Club. I like to meet with new investors because it's like it was yesterday. I remember moving to Memphis. I remember learning the things that I did, especially when I was learning from Robert. And it's so funny because, you know, because you hear me talk all the time about the driving for dollars technique, and if you could have been a fly on the wall and watched Robert teach me how to do that, it was intimidating. It was nerve-wracking. He was in his office, and I was out in the main conference area, and he's like, okay, you're going to call me on the phone, and I'm going to pretend to be the seller. And it was really uncomfortable half the time because I wanted to laugh, yeah. you know, because he's in the other room and I know what's going on. But it was such good training for me that I'm very good at it. I don't yeah. need to call. I don't need to call script anymore. I know exactly what to do and what to say. Yeah. So it's just a great technique to learn. But again, I really appreciate your time
yeah.
coming in here today. I hope that this has been a lot of fun for you.
Absolutely, had a blast.
Give a plug. For the company.
A plug for the company. Discount Property Warehouse. Why pay retail when you could pay discounted price? I don't know. I've never plugged for the company. Anyway.
What's the name of the company?
Discount Property Warehouse.
And what's the website address?
www.discountpropertywarehouse.net.
And what's your phone number if somebody wanted to call you?
901-486-6688.
Oh, good times, man. Well, listen, it's been great. I'm sure we'll have you on the show again at some point.
Absolutely.
So it's really exciting to hear about the success that you're having. You know, I wish that there were more success. I know that there are more success stories out there. I wish I just personally knew more of them.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, have a great day, and we'll see you again at another edition of Investor Talk Radio.
This show was produced by Kurt Davis and KurtDavisOnline.com. All rights reserved. To reach Kurt Davis, you can find him on the web at www.KurtDavisOnline.com or email him at Kurt@KurtDavisOnline.com. Everything you heard on this show should not be taken as personal or professional advice. You should conduct your own due diligence. Opinions or comments of our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the opinion of Kurt Davis or KurtDavisOnline.com.